Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Akhbayi. The Arab Spring is fundamentally rooted in the people's desire for reform. What if the regime promises reform, but protests keep turning violent? Well, in Syria's case, the situation becomes even blurrier since there are many accusations of outside interference from Saudi Arabia to the United States to Israel and even Turkey. In this edition of News Analysis, we will discuss how Syria is handling the crisis.
Syrian army uncover a mass grave full of mutilated bodies of security forces. They were killed and buried by what Damascus has called armed groups in Jisr al-Shughur. Syria says the unrest is part of a US-Israeli plot to create civil war in the country. The unrest started in the city of Daraa, where pro-reform protests erupted and soon turned violent. Following the protests in Daraa, near the Jordanian border, the Syrian TV aired footage of captured weapons and confessions by people allegedly arrested for opening fire on both the protesters and security forces in the area. The unrest then spilled over into Banias and Talkakh near the Lebanese border. Syria has officially accused Lebanon's March 14th parliamentary faction of sending arms and other hardware to create tension in the region. Damascus also pointed the finger at Lebanon's Future Movement, which is affiliated to the March 14th faction. However, the unrest did not stop in Banias and Talkakh. It soon spread to Idlib and Jisr al-Shughur near the Turkish border. Syrian authorities have also charged that armed groups have smuggled large caliber weapons into its territory from Turkey. Last week, 120 Syrian forces were killed in what Damascus called an ambush by the armed groups in the Jisr al-Shughur region. There have also been reports that Turkey sought to create a breakaway region in the area similar to Benghazi in Libya, and that the CIA chief recently made a secret visit to Turkey and its border with Syria. Meanwhile, the Western and Arab media have consistently accused Iran and Hezbollah of being involved in the operations to bring the situation under control in Syria, a charge that both have vehemently denied. Many say the accusations are meant to divert attention away from the realities on the ground. The protesters in Syria say they want political reforms. In the early days of the protests, the Syrian government pledged to implement reforms, a promise that largely remains unfulfilled. The Syrian security officials have also come under criticism for their mishandling of the situation. All told in Syria, one thing has led to another, bringing the kind of chaos in which nothing is as it seems. From the deaths of large numbers of people during pro-reform protests to the mass killings of Syrian security forces, all carry the hallmarks of a scheme cooked up outside of Syrian borders.
Maybe that's a way to describe Syria. Nothing is as it seems, but we're going to try to find out to get some answers to really what the situation and realities on the ground is. Let me introduce our guest for this Press TV News Analysis. From London, we have Jerome Taylor, who joins us. He's a journalist. From Beirut, Ahmad Mousseli, professor of political studies at the University of Beirut. And rounding up the list, from Damascus, we have Issam Takruri, who's a political analyst. Gentlemen, thank you all. Let me go to our guest in Damascus first, Issam Takruri. In terms of the situation in Syria, it's being compared to the other Arab uprisings as if it was one. What do you think makes this different than the other Arab uprisings?
The main difference between these uprisings, that's the uprising in Syria, or what's so-called uprising in Syria, is really different because Syria is different from other Arab countries. Syria is not allied to the United States. But in the other Arab countries, such as Tunisia and Egypt, they are the main allies of United States in the region. Let's make the difference between the uprising that we have seen in Tunisia and Egypt, and what's happening now in Syria. Now in Syria, what's happening now in Syria, I can qualify it, or it shows that the international community decided to have a kind of shift, or to move from the policy of containment of Syria to the policy of war against Syria, because as you mentioned in your report, that there are a close cooperation between United States from one hand and Turkey from the other hand, in order to direct or in order to lead what is happening now in Syria. So I can say that it's a conspiracy, but our people are really aware and is very comprehensive toward what's happening now.
Let's get a reaction to that statement. Let's get a reaction to you, Assam Thackeray. Let me bring in Jerome Taylor. Jerome Taylor, if we want to look at what's been pretty much categorized as outside interference or outside influence, our guest there in Damascus mentioned that. There's a slew of them. We can talk about the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, who said that Syria must be condemned. Let's first look at the United States. Why is the United States targeting Damascus? What's the game plan that the U.S. has?
Well, the game plan of the U.S. Is difficult to judge at the moment. I think one of the hardest things is that for media like myself is that we are not allowed to go into Syria to be able to report either way. So actually the situation on the ground is very murky and very difficult for us to understand. I mean, at the moment your report simply contains what the government in Damascus says, and I didn't really see any attempt to explain what the protesters, the pro-democracy movement, and these armed groups that Damascus say are causing instability.
Well, in terms of the outside intervention,
what their view
on the ground
is. In terms
of the outside intervention, don't you think that that should come into the question when it's thrown in the media? There are plenty of accounts that there is outside intervention from the United States to Turkey, which I believe we mentioned in the report, also coming from other elements that it's been attributed to. These do need to be discussed, don't they?
Oh no, I'm sure, and I'm sure that, I mean, essentially there's a bit of a scramble for Syria at the moment because no one really knows what's going to happen, and each country will follow their own national interest. I mean, I do think that the West has been largely tolerant of the Syrian regime over the past 5 to 10 years because it favours stability over problems, and I think at the moment this instability is causing them perhaps to change their mind.
Okay, you talk about Syria in terms of it creating instability for it to cause problems. Ahmad Mousseli, do you agree with that viewpoint? I mean, we could look at the past decade, as the London guest said, also look at the way Syria was courted by the West, whether it's through France, whether it's the United States itself. Why don't you give us your take in terms of what our guest there in London said?
Well, I don't think one can look only at Syria from an internal, perspective. Syria is different. I mean, if you compare Syria and Egypt as an example, the main players in Egypt were internal. What we see in Syria that, of course, there are internal players, but also the radical, armed wings mostly are supported by, groups coming or supported by the outsiders, whether it's from Jordan, Lebanon, or Turkey. Syria, in this case, is different in the sense what is demanded is not only the reform of the regime or a lot of the popular demands, which I think are correct and need to be addressed and taken care of in terms of freedoms and so forth. But at the same time, you have other groups that are radical, that are Salafis. They are intent on, turning upside down the situation in Syria. And here where the external factor comes in. And again, if you look at it more from a global perspective or geopolitically, you find, for instance, China, Russia, and others are against condemning Syria in the UN. This we didn't see when it came to Libya, for example. And consequently, the role Syria plays in the Middle East is very important. And I think one is not looking only at the internal dynamics of the regime, which should be improved in terms of dealing with the people, but also you have the issue of the Arab-Israeli conflict, you have the issue of resistance, you have the issue of relation with Iran, and so forth and so on. So one should not disregard, I think, the demands of the people, but at the same time, one should take also into consideration the geopolitics that Syria has fallen into, and trying to, you know, make some amends, if we may say so. But at this point in time, I think because of the radical wing or part of the movement, I think the priority has taken a military edge over the political edge, although, as you said, or the report said, that there are promises, there were changes of government, but we have yet to see more reform on the ground.
Well, that is the big question there, isn't it? At least one of them, in terms of trying to distinguish between the actual push by the people to demand the reforms, and then in terms of this outside intervention. And please explain to us, Assam Takruri, Turkey's role. I mean, Turkey has been blamed now for allowing weapons to flow into Syria. The role of Turkey, if you can, please explain its goals and its gains from Syria's instability.